الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وصلاة وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تطيعوا الذين كفروا يردوكم على أعقابكم فتنقلبوا خاسرين بل الله مولاكم وهو خير الناصرين وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا يرحم الله من لا يرحم الناس أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام علماء الكرام respected brothers and elders Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is yet again in another ayat sharifa of the Quran sharif warning you and me and every Muslim or Muslims إِن تُطِيعُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا If you follow those people that are from the family of kufr, the disbelievers, the non-believers, the mushrikeen, the kuffar, the yahood, the nasara, يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ They will turn you back and they will turn you upside down. فَتَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ And then you will eventually or ultimately land in a situation where you will be amongst those that are absolutely destroyed or ruined. That is, if you accept and embrace their ways and you show happiness at it. If you are happy to mix with them and embrace their ways, which are against all types of morality, if you show no remorse as in your capacity as a Muslim, if you show no regret and disapproval in your capacity as a mu'min, then remember this is what they will do to you and this is what will happen to you. They will turn you inside out, head first. فَتَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ And then you will become from those that are absolutely destructed and destroyed. So if you look at them as your protector, as your protectors or your helpers or your well-wishers, then you are making a gross mistake. You are not fooling anybody else but yourself, and even more importantly, you are ruining yourself. Why? بَلِ اللَّهُ مَوْلَاكُمْ Instead it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is your protector. He is your helper. He is your guide. He is your friend. All these meanings apply to the word Mawla in the Arabic language. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ النَّاصِرِينَ And he is the best of those who help. Who can help you in a more better way than your Allah? In this regard, we find that the government of our country is presently trying to pass a bill of law or legislation or whatever you may call it in order to what he says curb terrorism urban terrorism and to bring or restore peace and harmony and security in the country but if we look at the fine print and if we read between the lines then we will not fail to discern that from all the various factors that are glaring and looking at us straight in the eye, there is only one objective. There is only one aim, and that is to derail and destabilize the progress of the Muslim Ummah. In the light of that so-called warped and skewed type of law, you and I will no longer be able to sit on this minbar of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and speak about the unfortunate plight that our Muslim brothers and sisters may be enduring or undergoing in some other part of the world. You and I will not be able to send a few cents or a few rand in the form of lillah or zakat or sadaqah to assist our Muslim brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. You and I will not be able to even talk about their plight, let alone anything else. It will be taken as an offense. it will be taken or viewed upon as a contravention of the law of this country. Let us think back. Let us think back. We were told during the days of the apartheid regime that we do not have the right to this and the right to that. We are not accorded our human dignity to which we should have access at any one and one given or at all times. We were told that in the light of all the atrocities that were being unleashed upon the citizens of South Africa, mainly the non-white citizens, it has to follow that the government has to be brought down. The previous government was subsequently or eventually brought down. So-called democracy in inverted commas was installed in the country. On paper, we are living in a democratic country. Practically, we are very far from democracy. If democracy means embracing all the evil that is against all logics, all types of morality, then this is the democracy that they speak of. If democracy means that a man will marry a man and a woman will marry a woman, then that is the democracy they would like for you and I to accept and to believe and to live with. If democracy means that the legalization of prostitution should be enhanced by virtue of the fact that it is their constitutional right, then you and I have to embrace it. If democracy means that abortion, which is 9 out of 10 times the next step after zina, is legal and it is okay because it is that woman and that man's constitutional right, it is their human dignity. Allah knows what type of weird and strange and bizarre dignity they talk about, then we have to embrace it. So basically, we can sit here and go on for days and days, but in this short space of time, we would like to create a bit of awareness amongst ourselves, first of all in myself, the weak Muslim that I am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me tawfiq and give all of us tawfiq to understand and to realize and to read between the lines how our deen of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Ikiram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in is being targeted from all sides. We are being told that this law is good for us. We have to realize that the only law that a Muslim recognizes is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no other law. Inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam. Deen, a way of life in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is only the religion of Islam. There is nothing else. But we are being told that the constitution of this country is supreme. Your Quran, your hadith, your religious ideologies, whatever they may be, all fall short or by the wayside. Astaghfirullah. We are being told that you cannot be allocated or accommodated insofar as your Muslim personal law is concerned. Your marriages will not be recognized. When you die, your estates will not be liquidated and distributed in accordance with your religion, because the law of the country is supreme. In the case of talaq, which only the Muslim male has got a right to execute, the government of today, find it discriminatory. They say that this is against equality. In the same light, they speak of, but before we go into that, let us state very, very categorically and most unequivocally that every Muslim that is sitting in this Jumma Masjid today, and every Muslim that may be in any part or corner of this world, at this present point in time and even in the future to come, no right-thinking, right-minded Muslim will condone or express his approval or happiness at the recent spate of cowardice type of bombings that have been taking place in other parts of the country. No Muslim, we categorically condemn such dastardly acts. Islam has got no place for this. Islam says that if you have an enemy, look at the enemy. And what does Islam call an enemy? Who does Islam call an enemy? Islam says your enemy is that one who is a threat to your iman. He is a threat to your property. He is a threat to the very existence that you are enjoying as a Muslim. If any of the above are absent, you are not permitted to go and attack all and sundry and place like a coward bombs in shopping centers and all these types of places. You are not allowed to do that. So we say we condemn this. We distance ourselves from this and we believe. We sincerely believe that the forces behind these bombings are not Muslims. A Muslim does not do this type of thing. Do we need to educate the ministers of safety and security and of police that the deen of Islam is such an all-embracing deen that even if a non-Muslim's rights are violated in an Islamic state, he will be given full credit. His rights will be restored to him by the Islamic judge in an Islamic court of law. Maulana Abdul Shakur Sahib Lakhnavi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, during his time in India, there was a dispute, just to illustrate by way of example what Islam stands for, what the ulama of Islam stand for, what the Muslims stand for. There was a dispute regarding the ownership of a piece of land. The Hindus of the place said, this site has been reserved for a temple. The Muslim said, no, it is a site for a masjid or a mosque. The matter went to court. It was decided by the panel of judges presiding that we will call Maulana Abdul Shakur Sahib Lakhnavi, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Whatever Maulana says will be decided upon. Whatever he says. Because he was a man of integrity. He was a man of truthfulness and justice. He never looked at the convenience of one individual, or he never looked at favoritism. He was called, and Maulana Rahmatullahi Ali was asked. Maulana said to the judge, we're just giving it to you briefly, we are paraphrasing, it's a very long discussion. Maulana Rahmatullahi Ali said, as far as the Muslims are concerned and as far as the Hindus are concerned, I have got absolutely nothing to say. Now, that land, is it a site upon which a masjid was supposed to have been constructed? I don't know about it. Is it a land upon which a temple was supposed to have been constructed? I don't know about it. But one thing I do know, that as a Muslim, I am constrained by the effects of my iman to say that that land was not designated for a masjid. The Muslims became very, very annoyed with him. They said, Maulana, you were supposed to swing the case our way. No, our deen is not that. Islam is not that. We cannot swing anything our way because it is a Muslim involved. No, the haq will always remain the haq. When they came out of court, when the decision was made in favor of that site being used for a temple, they came out of the court. And the Muslims rallied around Maulana, protesting against what he had said. The Hindus came with cap in hand and with their heads and faces lowered. And they said, Hazrat, we know you have spoken the truth, but because you upheld such high morality, because you showed that this deen is a deen of justice, we now relinquish our rights as Hindus, and the place, that place as a temple, we give it to you, you put up a masjid. We give it to you, you put up a masjid there. This is the deen of Islam. Do we not need to tell Steve Shweta that? Do we need to tell Penwell Maduna that? That we do not need this stupid bombing all over. We do not need this. You, on the other hand, the Minister of Safety and Security, the Minister of Police, it is your bounden duty, and if you do not do it, if you are so thick-headed in order not to see the merits of doing it, then your so-called cronies that are above you have to impress upon you, they have to instruct you, they have to command you to offer an unconditional apology to the 1 million Muslims of this country for having leveled such rash, baseless and false statements against the Muslim community. Who do you think the Muslim is? And where do you think you are coming from? We will not allow you to do this. Do you not know that the Muslim is one who will sell everything that he has got for the sake of the preservation of his iman? A Muslim is one who will lay his life down without even blinking an eyelid for the preservation of the ummah. Do you not know that? If you need to be educated, then come to us. This deen of Islam is such a beautiful deen. It is such, as we said, and such an all-encompassing deen that if you are looking for peace, you have come to the right place. If you are looking for justice, you have come to the right place. If you are looking for harmony and serenity and tranquility in your life, you have come to the right place. If you are looking for absolute equality, not your type of warped equality, you have come to the right place. If you are looking for the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have come to the right place. There is no deen in the eyes of Allah besides the deen of Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us that do not follow these people and embrace their system and be happy with it, because this is what will eventually happen to you. Do you desire that? No. Coming back to the accusations that have been leveled over the past few days or weeks against the Muslim community, where the integrity of the Muslim has been violated. We are not going to speak about human rights. We are not going to speak about the Truth and Reconciliation Committee. It reeks of hypocrisy. We are speaking about the right of a Muslim accorded to him by the deen of Islam, to which he belongs. We demand, for the record, that an unconditional apology, public apology, via the electronic, the transmitted and the printed media be made to every single Muslim on this land of South Africa, irrespective of whatever culture or background he may come from. This deen, 1421 years ago, never looked at Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu and referred to him as a black Muslim. Today you taught us that term. You taught us the Indian Muslim term. You taught us the white Muslim term. You taught us the colored Muslim term. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, No Arab has got priority over a non-Arab. وَلَا أَعْجَمِيٌ عَلَى عَرَبِي. And no non-Arab has got priority over an Arab. إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَى. Except in piety. Some are high, some are low when it comes to piety. So we need not fear. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the helper. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you only obey my laws, if you follow my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you follow his such a glorious group of sahaba ikram, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, then who is that on the earth or in the heavens that can harm one strand of hay on your bodies? No one. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقَدَامَكُمْ. If you help the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will help you and he will plant your feet firmly. Nobody will be able to shake you around. There is not a shred of veracity in the statements that were so irresponsibly made by these ministers and their ilk. And nobody within the ranks of the ANC-led government found it necessary to reprimand them and say to them that, listen, when we were in exile so many years ago, when Mr. P.W. Botha and F.W. de Klerk and the likes of them, when they called us terrorists, when they called us fanatics, when they called us murderers, when they called us butchers, who gave us refuge? Who recognized our rights as human beings? We went to Libya, Muslim country. We went to Iraq, Muslim country. We went to Egypt, Muslim country. We went to the Palestinian Liberation Organization, Muslim country. We went to Russia. How did we get to Russia? How did they train our so-called MK or Amkonto or Sizwe? How did they get training over there? Because the Arabs spoke to them. The Arabs spoke to them that these people are not being recognized. Zulm is being made upon them. You recognize their rights and you train them there. When we needed money, it came and it started pouring in like water. From whom? Not from the Rothschilds, not from the Rockefellers, not from those bunch of hypocrites and clowns that are involved in a circus there, but from the Muslim. He provided all that. Very short memories they have. Very short memories they have. Nevertheless, what do we need to do? As we said, time is very, very short. Inshallah ta'ala, if we are living, we can continue and expound upon what we are speaking at a later stage. What we need to do, brothers, very, very importantly, is to engage this government on every level, every constructive level. Dialogue, letters, petitions, stating to them that this law of yours does not fall short of the law that the white man had slapped upon us many years ago, known as the BOSS law, the Boss law, Bureau of State Security, where you were detained without trial, where you were not even afforded the opportunity to have a trial for something that you were allegedly supposed to have done. Mr. Nelson Mandela, let us mention this in conclusion. Mr. Nelson Mandela, a man of high integrity. We all respect him for the freedom that he fought for in this country so tirelessly and so selflessly. In 1994, at his swear-in, at the inauguration of him as the president of the country, he said, amongst other things that he said, he said, "Let there not be another day on this land of South Africa where any one individual, irrespective of color, caste or creed or nationality or language, let there not be any one individual who will be incarcerated without being given a fair opportunity to a trial. Why do you have so many people languishing in the prison and you do not want to even charge them because you cannot? Where is your democracy?" We call upon Mr. Mandela today to exercise what he said that time and put right the wrongs. We call upon him as Muslims because we look up to him as a gentleman. You said that there will not be another day. Our brothers and our non-Muslim brothers as well are sitting in the prisons. No charges put to them. No bail given to them. They are sitting there for the past number of months. Who is going to do anything about it? We need to engage this government. We need to make our voices heard. We need to stand up and be counted. And also at the same time, we need to waylay those newspaper reporters and those media reporters who are also joining the bandwagon and lambasting the Muslims from all different corners. We need to do these things, brothers. Otherwise, there will come a time when they will say to us, "You have become so complacent, your ummah has become so crippled and lame that you do not even mind us doing anything we want to do to you." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us from that type of day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq and hidayat to conduct and to conform our lives in strict adherence and accordance with the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to the Quraysh and when he spoke about the invitation to the kalima la ilaha illallah, then the Quraysh, what they said, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab and all their likes, what did they say? Hamari to hukumat chali jayegi. Our government will be taken away. Our rulership will be taken away if we accept this kalima. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Ya ma'shara Qurayshin, kalimatan wahidatan, law tu'tunaha, kanat lakumul arab, wa tu'addi lakum ajamul jizya. O assembly of Quraysh, I have not come to take away your government. I have not come to take away your rulership. I have brought one kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Law tu'tunaha, if you believe in it, kanat lakumul arab, the entire Arab nation will become yours. Wa tu'addi lakum ajamul jizya, and the non-Arab will pay you your taxes. The daughters of Qaisar and Qisra will make your beds and they will be subservient to you. This is the karamat of this kalima. This is the miracle and the kamal of this kalima. Why are you talking about your government being taken away? You will be the bosses. This is what we are saying. We invite them towards the deen of Islam. We invite them towards this one kalima. And we invite them towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where true democracy is always prevalent. Wa akhir.